B-Pod Studios.
Farsetta in the morning.
History was just made, Jamie. This has never happened before. A radio host made a mistake, and no one called him on it on social media.
Whoa!
Yeah, that's right. I said that
we need to document this.
This is so. To all you Twitter trolls, where you at?
Yeah, we're gonna troll ourselves.
Yeah, I'll troll me being an idiot. No, it's Chris Pronger was not the captain of the 2010 Stanley Cup team.
No,
it was still Mike Richards,
obviously.
And I said, thank you. Now you're trolling me from 6 feet away,
idiot. Do you watch the Flyers?
Do you even hockey? Anyway.
Guess I'll talk about best team in town.
So, whenever if somebody calls and says you should talk more, I'm just going to play the captain of the Flyers talking. That's what I'm going to do. But when I was talking, Chris Pronger wasn't the captain until after they traded away Mike Richards, mm-hmm. and then he got
that, he's
and
one of the ultimate.
What the hell?
What could have been?
What could have been? They would have won a cup. I'm convinced they would have won a cup.
Well, because that's what Chris Pronger does.
Yeah,
he wins.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm pretty sure I was in the arena, and you could hear Pronger yell when he, because it was a stick to the temple area.
I know it was his eye.
It affected his vision, but I thought he got like hit in the temple or whatever it was. You heard him yell, and it was like, oh no.
The reaction to it as he's walking off the ice, if I remember it correctly, and I think I do, is like his hand under his face, like shaking his hand, and you're like, oh, this isn't good.
Yeah.
Whatever this is actually really, really bad.
That sucked.
And it turned out to be the end.
Yeah, really sad end.
But when you think about...
God, they've had a lot of concussion. Oh, yeah. I mean, between Primo, Lindros, and him, mm-hmm. that's three devastating like concussion issues.
When I think about Chris Pronger, and I know this comparison gets brought up in other sports, like I remember like, oh, Nick Foles, he's a quarterback. All he has to do is be a good point guard. Like, they're going to be a point guard,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
When I think about point guards, I think of Chris Pronger because that's how he played defense. Like, it was like he was like bringing the ball up the court. He was bringing the puck up the ice, and good things were going to happen. And not just that, but he was also good at stopping the puck from going in the goal as well.
Yeah.
By the way, 9 o'clock hour brought to you by The Bagster. Dumpster in a bag at yours today at Home Depot and Lowe's. For details, go to thebagster.com. We were supposed to talk to this gentleman yesterday. Something came up, but we got him today. His name's Devon Givens right here of 97.5 The Fanatic. What's up, Devon?
What's up, guys? Sorry about that.
Don't you ever apologize to us. Good to have you on today, buddy. Here's what we got going on. Here's one thing I want to see tonight. Obviously, I want to see a blowout against a hapless Wizards team. But I would like to see a little bit more of a solid rotation from Brett Brown going into this game tonight, at least in the first three quarters, given that maybe it won't be a blowout going into the fourth quarter. I just want to kind of get a sense of what Brett's actually thinking before the playoffs start. Where are you at on the rotations?
Well, I agree with you that you would like to see the rotations set a little bit better. I guess that with the way the things have been going on with the games, they're still trying to figure out the fatigue level, the basketball shape that these players are in, despite the fact that they've been in camp and some scrimmages. Still trying to really figure it out, Mark. Since the playoffs don't start for another 2 weeks, that he really doesn't have an idea. And I also think it hurts, too, not having Glenn Robinson out there, the third, because he would also be in that mix. So I would like to see a better rotation overall, better team defense in general. That's really been bothering me. When the last time I had a chance to join you guys, that was my number one thing, that I needed to see the team defense be exactly what we thought and what they told us it would be once this reseeding started and, of course, the playoffs got underway. So those afternoon against the Washington Wizards. You're right. It's a hapless team. No Bradley Beal, no Davis Bertans, and they're just throwing out regular dudes out there right now that, of course, are NBA players, but no way that the Sixers should lose to this team this afternoon.
Devon, you just brought up the defense, and obviously that's the thing that's most concerning to everybody watching. I think it's, 92 points in the fourth quarters combined of the two games. Stan Van Gundy yesterday brought up an interesting point, and I want to see if you're buying it, because if you look around the bubble right now, pretty much majority of the games are going over. You know, occasionally last night, Rockets over was like 245. That didn't go over. But a lot of these games are high scoring. Stan Van Gundy believes it's a product of the conditioning. They don't have their legs under them yet, so by the time they're getting to these fourth quarters, they're shot. And the offense is ahead of the defense in the bubble. One, do you buy that? And two, does that give you hope that the Sixers will turn this corner defensively here?
One, I do believe what Stan Van Gundy had to say. We talked about this last night, as a matter of fact, Jamie, where Van Gundy said that. And, you know, we brought it up in our conversation as well, because it makes sense. It totally does. Look at what we were talking about going in, where these soft tissue injuries and things of that nature are going in here because of the fact that this has been, wow, it has been, in terms of length, a normal offseason for these players, but it has not been, as Stan Van Gundy pointed out, a normal offseason where they've had the opportunity to go and work out in gyms, go do all the work that they do, whether it's running around whatever field that they may work, or track or city, wherever they are, to do the normal conditioning things that they need to do in the offseason to prepare for the rigors of an NBA season. So with them not having to do that, coming back into the bubble, look, guys live in apartments, they don't have access. Guys do live at homes, they may have a court, but, you know, it's just them and no one else. So the guys are going to be in different stages of where they are in terms of their conditioning. So I buy into it. Does that mean the defense? Hopefully, because one of the things that has stood out to me glaringly in these first two games, Ben Simmons has played better defense than he has in these two seeding games thus far. And I don't know what it is with him. Maybe it is the conditioning. Maybe he's just coasting until they get to the playoff rounds that start in a couple of weeks. But I do buy what Stan Van Gundy is saying a little bit, because it just seems like that's natural stuff when it comes to getting ready for a season and them not doing it the way that they're accustomed to doing it. These guys are, look, we know that they're creatures of habits, athletes, right? They have their things that they do that they're accustomed to doing, and this has thrown everyone off. So while this may not be an excuse for the 76ers when you see other things happening in a positive way for other teams, but you're right, scoring is up, totally up. No defense, no one's playing good defense, and hopefully this thing starts to come around for them as they get ready for game number 52.
All right, Devon, I got to ask you this. The night and day, as we speak with our own Devon Gibbons, the night and day of both games. So it was game one, Shake Milton, just night. Awful. Terrible. It was very dark. And then, obviously, in the next game, totally different. He was that calm guy that we had watched before the shutdown happened. What was your reaction to Saturday night versus Monday night?
Saturday night, I just thought that at some point, he just got in his own head. Things weren't going his way. The foul trouble, then the issue with Embiid very early on, the fact that T.J. McConnell, of course, was digging in his shorts. Aaron Holiday gave him some trouble as well, and he just got out of his head. And what that was something that we had not seen from Shake Milton in quite some time. So what was important for me, Mark, was for him to bounce back after the back and forth with Joel Embiid that seemingly got him out of his game as well, settled down, had a day off. We don't know what the conversations were between the players and Milton, the coaches and Milton, but whatever it was, I wanted to see some poise from him. I wanted to see him bounce back and take some good shots, be smart about what he did. And Marky came out and he was 6 of 9 from the floor, I believe it was, off the top of my head, 2 of 4 from behind the three-point line, no turnovers in 20-plus minutes. And, of course, the big shot with 6.1 seconds left on the game clock to basically clinch the game winner. And good to see it. So the night and day was, I think, the confidence. He lost it very early on Saturday against the Indiana Pacers, and on Monday, what it was, he was able to get it going early. He got it back, and it sustained throughout the entirety of the game.
Yeah, Devon.
Don't turn the ball over. That's what he did.
Devon, I want to give you a task here, and I come to you as a steadying basketball voice in my life. I watched the NBA bubble yesterday, and, you know, your cousin plays for the Suns, so I'm sure you're very invested in those games. And I watch, you know, the game winner from Devin Booker. I watch Kawhi Leonard and Paul George just taking over, whether it's from the perimeter, whether it's getting to the rim. All these guys have a variety of options of scoring, and most of it relies on the jump shot. I got sad yesterday that the Sixers don't have that guy. Am I being overdramatic here, or is this a just lack of guard perimeter play, a glaring hole with this organization right now?
No, because I think this is something that we've talked about for years now with this basketball team, from the rebuild to when Simmons and Embiid got here and started to establish themselves, shot makers. And
yeah. Every
team basically has a shot maker, and that's why Elton Brand went out and got Jimmy Butler and that move made there, where he was going to come in and be that type of guy, the guy you can give the ball to with some seconds left on the game clock, and drill it. Let's go home, and we walk away with this victory. And you're right, Devin Booker's shot was amazing. We, as you said, Kawhi Leonard, Paul George, T.J. Warren. Even though T.J. Warren may not be a household name, he's a guy who can score in this league. And the 76ers, while Tobias Harris dropped 25 yesterday, 30 on Saturday, you hope that he can maybe evolve into that player for this team. Because for me, that's really the only one that would give me hope.
It's the only thing that comes to mind, yeah.
Yeah, and maybe with a little bit of Shake Milton, but there's not enough of a sample size outside of that 39-point performance against the Los Angeles Clippers. So it is saddening in that way. It's something that we all want to do. Reasonable at all, because some people did want him to move on. But if there was any reason why you wanted Jimmy Butler back, it was for that. And right now, the Sixers don't have. Now, I guess, guys, the only hope is that you get it done in different variety of ways. While it may be different variety of ways of shooting for those players, maybe, you know, we're hoping for Ben Simmons to put the ball on the floor and be that guy eventually. He can finish at the rim. Josh Richardson the same. And as we just mentioned, Tobias Harris, Shake Milton, and certainly Joel Embiid. So it is a glaring hole on this team. They could still win. We knew this before the season when we still projected them to be a top team in the East. They have to find ways to do it differently than what those other stars do that we know of closing games and shooting.
Mm-hmm. Devon, the last thing I'll have for you, and it's more to put a quarter in the Jamie angry machine than anything. Howell Neto.
Oh, no.
Howell Neto versus Alec Burks. What's the deal? Why are we
what's up
so,
with that?
Yeah, why is that happening? Why is that happening?
I mean, if you just follow Brett, it's more of Howell Neto is a traditional point guard. So if he's going to go that route, he's going to go a traditional point guard versus someone who's a combo. Although I don't think Shake Milton is a point guard. I think he's a combo that can make jump shots.
Yep.
And it's
yep.
a little bit different. Mm. But Jamie, if you're on the side of Alec Burks, I'm with you. Because
I very much am on that side. Yeah, I never want to see Neto again.
I think Brett Brown's the only one who's not on our side.
Yeah, I mean, but look, you see it with T.J. McConnell as well. I actually trust it's crazy to say, but I trust T.J. McConnell more than I do Howell Neto because...
Oh, absolutely.
No, not crazy at all. Maker. Not crazy.
Yeah, but when you look at the difference, too,
I think Brett's cutting your line off. I think Brett Brown's cutting your line off. We had a little disconnection right there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So I don't know, man. I would go Burks. He favors Neto, but it can also go into, and Pat will tell you where... I favor Amir Johnson over Rashawn Holmes only because I trusted Amir Johnson more defensively, where maybe Brett Brown trusts Howell Neto as a point guard over Alec Burks, who may be a little bit wild as a guy who can
turnovers,
create like
yeah.
crazy, but he can turn the ball over as well.
Totally. Devon, last one for me. Tell me Furkan Korkmaz is not going to be the sixth man in the actual playoffs.
No, I don't think so.
Thank you.
Oh, thank God.
I think that was just, and look.
Foul trouble and all that, yeah.
Yeah, it's basically, if you're going to take him beat out, that means that Al Horford will come into the game. Now, if Shake Milton gets into foul trouble and he feels like he has to go with another guard, he's going to go with another guard, and that's probably your first guard off the bench, and T-Side will be a second one.
Right. Devon, I really appreciate you coming on, man. Thanks again, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again soon.
Thank you, man.
All right.
See you, Devon.
Appreciate it. I swear that was Brett. I mean, it was bad. I mean, it was in and out.
Well, he controls
bad.
The 5G towers. That Brett.
Like he controls them like he controls his rotations,
yeah.
Which isn't good. No, I just don't want to fault a guy for trying to make a play. And I understand the veteran role that you trust one guy more than you trust another because you know exactly what you're going to get. But I don't mind a Rashawn Holmes who might try to make that extra play and playing him over Amir Johnson the way maybe a couple of years ago.
It's because of the upside.
Right.
Because you can take the safe play or you can take the upside play.
Yeah.
Like I think Brett views Neto in that same way. He's the safe play where Burks is the upside play.
Exactly.
There's way more upside there, but there's more risk because he is a little bit of a turnover machine.
Who's a better basketball player?
Alec Burks.
Yeah, so why can't I? Does he play that position? Did he play a combo guard spot when he was in starting with the Warriors?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I'll use him.
So let's go for the upside because the safe play isn't getting it done.
No, I don't get it, man. Especially if you're having trouble scoring as well and you're trying to work some different things in at the point guard position.
Yeah.
Howell Neto ain't. Here's what I know. Howell Neto ain't it.
No.
Do I think Alec Burks has much more of an upside, as we were just talking about? Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
So why not give him that opportunity
to play? Your back's against the wall, Brett.
I don't need to see 10 minutes of Howell Neto. I don't need to see, and then 10 minutes of Alec Burks.
No, just give me 20 minutes of Alec Burks.
You don't know right now who's your better guy?
Come on.
Did you trade for him?
Alec Burks isn't going to be airballing 15-footers.
This is even more of a disconnect between the front office and who goes on the court.
Like, yeah.
If you're giving me guys to coach, why am I not using those guys?
The GM and the coaching haven't seemed to sync up here. The style of play that they want to play like Milwaukee or Houston, where their jacket, like Brett's ideal style of play would be kind of what Mike D'Antoni's doing in Houston.
Yeah.
Just running jack. Elton Brand has built something different, and they're just not jiving with one another.
No.
And that's a problem.
Now, when you look at the bully ball thing and how that fell apart after like two games.
So it's almost
part of the season.
Because you're stuck with the roster that Elton has given you for the most part, because nobody's going to be crazy enough to take on Al Horford's contract.
Right.
You have to therefore change the coach that will coach to the style of roster you have, as opposed to a coach that wants to run and gun with the roster of a early 90s team.
It doesn't seem like it should be that hard. Yeah, yet it seems next to impossible.
Yeah, I mean, for me, look, I think Elton was deserving of the shot, but when you go back to that summer where you just let Brett be the interim GM, what a disaster.
Oh, like, no, God, yeah. With
because that was that was like the huge offseason, you know, with the Tobias looming, and that changed the direction of this franchise for a foreseeable future.
All right,
and you let a guy that had no experience do it.
I'm with you. I understand that it was a crazy thing with Brian Colangelo, but you ultimately went to the guy that was already the GM of your G League team.
Yeah.
It wasn't that hard.
Like,
I remember even thinking after Brian Colangelo, I was just thinking about, you know, guys they could bring in, and I'm like, one of the guys that crossed my mind was obviously Elton Brand, and I'm like, you know, he's already in the organization.
He was being groomed for that type of role.
He played in the organization. He was already the GM. I had just interviewed Elton, as a matter of fact, as the GM.
So well respected around the league.
And I'm like, this guy is
makes sense.
He's like a presidential candidate.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It's like, oh, I'd vote for this guy. You know what I mean? And next thing you know, yeah, he's the GM. I didn't think he'd be the front runner, but I was like, there's a good shot that he gets it.
I mean, I can't hear the words Brian Colangelo and not get nauseous.
Yeah,
what the hell was that?
I don't know. I don't know. But as far as this team goes today, all right, for whatever we can control today,
we're locked into this roster.
This is the roster that we have.
So make it work.
This is the roster you have chosen. All right. So when you look at this roster right now, and you think about the starting five, like the starting five right now, Shake, fine, like it can work. I think it can work.
Sure.
And if Shake even, you know, gets out of his own way, like he failed to do in the first game, then I think you can have a pretty damn good starting five here. I mean, you have two all-stars in your starting five. I like that.
And Tobias has been playing great. If he can continue that type of level of play, maybe you don't need as much offensively from Ben.
Yeah.
Because Tobias and Joel look like they're bordering on, you know, carrying this team, and it's possible.
I don't think the asks of Tobias Harris have been drastic, but you're still asking him to do different things because he didn't know whether or not he'd be the point or the power forward or he'd be the small forward. And there's a little bit of a different responsibility there, especially in the NBA
the
nowadays.
The three is one of the most talented positions in the league. So when you put Tobias at the three, he's average.
Mm-hmm.
When you put him at the four, he's bordering on special. So, like, it's pretty clear to me in today's NBA, Tobias is a four. When he's up against the star power that's at the three position, like, I'm going to take Jason Tatum over him. If they're going one-on-one, yeah. I'm taking Tatum.
Right. But
when he's a four, he's got a skill set that few have.
But numbers-wise, he has brought to this table what he was bringing to the table of the Clippers.
Yeah.
And that's been great to see. And he's been predominantly at the three position. Back when we moved, when they first made the announcement that Ben Simmons was playing exclusively the power forward position, I was like, well, now you're going to get a lesser version of Tobias. This isn't good.
Yeah.
And he's been playing great.
He has been.
He's most consistent.
He entered the bubble with what appears to be a new mentality, a new mindset here. And it's needed desperately because outside of Joel Embiid, that's what you're paid to do, Tobias. You're a max player. You got to play like one, and they need the offense. They need the shooting from you desperately, and he appears to be at least attempting to provide it and doing so far.
Melt my heart. Ryan Giroux just tweeted us.
Aw.
The wife of Claude Giroux, Ryan, and their awesome son, Gavin.
Was Gavin checking out Skylar on Instagram?
He was scrolling.
Yeah,
he was scrolling.
You stay away, Gavin. No, he's a cute kid.
She tweeted a picture. Awesome interview, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Of him listening?
Of him holding a hockey stick.
Oh, that's awesome.
And playing hockey with one of them, like little stackable baby toys.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's not
I saw
not
he had the baby Giroux jersey on the other day. And I was like, that's That's damn adorable. Get me right in the feels.
When we come back, we'll go through a little bit more of that Claude Giroux interview and what he had to say, because he had some great stuff. And then we will get back into our specifics for today. What we want to see from the 76ers today, 4 o'clock, and what we want to hear from the Philadelphia Phillies today about their top prospect. Time of the Fanatic, 921.
Farzetta in the morning.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Fanatic.
Again, the best thing that I heard from Claude Giroux today was that he wants the pressure. And he didn't shy away from it. It's not an easy question. Like, hey, you've been a Flyer captain for 8 or 9 years, haven't made it out of the first round of the playoffs. Now,
well, he's got a team around him now.
Well, he's got a team around him. He's got a coach. And here's the other thing. You know, half the time he's been the captain, they haven't really cared about winning.
Well, half the time he's been the captain, he's been the only line you could count on for scoring.
Good God.
Now they have at least three lines that you can expect goals from.
Mm-hmm. And
it's thrilling.
Not only a coach, but a goaltender as well. And that's the thing that that really sticks out here.
Like you said, he only gets frazzled when I score on him in practice, and I let him know. I love hockey chirping, as they call it,
yeah.
is hilarious
it
to
is.
Me.
It's great. Now, we'll go through a little bit more of that in a second, but there was some breaking news, if you will. UConn.
Yeah, they're the first.
The UConn Huskies have decided to go, and this is after we talked about the Colorado State incident earlier, but the UConn Huskies have canceled their 2020 college football season amid COVID-19 concerns.
Of many to come.
It certainly seems like it. And I don't blame them. Like, I give UConn a lot of credit for this. They're not going to put people in harm's way.
Yeah.
And here's the thing. If anything about college or any university, really, it's like, damn, you're expensive.
Yeah. Another weird thing that came out from the Big Ten.
So I don't mind this.
Like, these are the extremes people are going to go to. It doesn't even make sense. Where UConn's just like, yeah, this is dumb. Why are we doing this?
Yeah.
Brett McMurphy says, weird new Big Ten rule this year. Team that has been most recently quarantined gets choice to receive opening kickoff or defer to the second half. What?
So team most recently quarantined?
Yes. Gets choice to receive opening kickoff or defer to the second half. Like, what are we doing?
So now it's a benefit to the game plan?
Yeah. They're like, well, everybody's going to be quarantined at some point. So let's put this weird rule in where there's...
I don't understand. What is that supposed to do? Encourage
you no idea.
Quarantine?
Don't know.
So the goal.
None of this makes sense for college sports.
So the goal in this is to be the last team quarantined?
I guess.
You're incentivizing the person that's what?
Yeah, so UConn sees this and they go, what the hell? No, we're out.
You're rewarding the team that is last to quarantine is what you're doing. Yeah. How is that the good idea?
There's like no protocols in place that we know of yet.
Oh, God.
You know, the safety measures. But we'll do something ridiculous on opening kickoffs with teams most recently quarantined.
All right, so
what?
Bubble. Here you go. If you're not a bubble sport, see you later.
I think at best the thing you'll see is just conference play. And like, yeah. I don't know if you can necessarily bubble that.
You can't, but at least I give you the tip of the cap. Like, I understand how much money is at stake here, and we all know that.
And all the other programs survive off of it.
Exactly.
Yada, yada, yada.
So when you look at the softball team, or you look at the volleyball team.
Or lacrosse,
team,
like
or
I played.
Lacrosse.
You depend on that type of stuff.
You got the other revenue coming in from football.
Because you're not bringing any in.
Unfortunately not. Which is why, anyway, that's why you should never pay college athletes, but you should allow them to make money.
Yeah, exactly.
So when you look at this, when you look at the situation that's come up recently and past, but when you look at everything that's surrounding what goes into having a season, I at least give the conferences that are attempting to do this only in conference play, I give them a tip of the cap. Hey, you're doing something that's a little bit more
proactive,
responsible than most.
And expecting full seasons is probably unrealistic, even for the NFL. Like, I wouldn't be surprised if they moved down to an 8 or 10 game schedule, maybe delayed the start. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, hey, maybe we push this off till November and we just do conference play and maybe your geographic opposition, like we play the AFC East or whatever for two games and divvy it up that way. There's too much money at stake for them to ever punt on it, but I could see some kind of reduction, just the same as I could see in college. Like, before they totally punt, they might just go to conference games and minimize it as most as you can.
And by the way, as UConn is saying thanks, but no thanks, Penn State is releasing their schedule. They just released it about 5 minutes ago. Northwestern, September 5th, and they round out the season week 14 Big Ten Championship. At least that's when that'll be. Their last scheduled game is week 12, obviously, and that's November 21st at Illinois. So that's what Penn State did today. So that's out there right now. 610-632-0975. As I mentioned before the break, and we're going to get back into the Sixers conversation as well. Here you go. The Philadelphia Phillies have a doubleheader today, and they are throwing out there Zach Wheeler to pitch game one, Aaron Nola to pitch game two. Now they have a whole slew of games to get in here before this season wraps up. They're going to need starting pitching. They're going to need arms, bottom line. But what they have to do, so they don't have to start Nick Pivetta out of the pen, and so they don't have to start even Cole Irvin out of the pen, they need to call up Spencer Howard, 24-year-old who has dazzled in his time throwing against big league pitchers, big league hitters, and has been very impressive to everyone that has watched him, including, most importantly, Bryce Harper, who has already been championing the cause for this guy to be up to the major league level. I have really no rooting interest this year in baseball. You got the Flyers in the middle of the playoffs soon to be. You have the Sixers are going to be in the playoffs as well, and then football will be around the corner. As I've said 1,000 times, I don't have that much passion about baseball. I look at this season right now, and I usually do, number one sport for me, but this year not so much. I look at this 60-game season as more or less a preseason to next year. I want to see what they have. I want to see Spencer Howard, their number one pitching prospect. I want to see what they have in Alec Bohm, their number one position playing prospect. I want to see all that play out this year. I want to see what they got. And guess what? One of them, they certainly got a need for right now.
There's
Spencer Howard.
There's no need not to. There's no reason not to. I don't get what this... Look, from the financial standpoint, aside, that's why they do it. But I don't understand why. Like, you're a major market team. Money should... you've never gone over the luxury tax once.
Mm-hmm.
That's inexcusable. But two, there's no reason not to bring these kids up. There's been a shift in the game where you don't have to be a 25-year-old man anymore.
Right.
There's 19 and 20-year-old. I mean, Dustin May was drafted in 2016, came up for the Dodgers last night, and was throwing cork-winding, side-breaking filth that I haven't seen from a Phillies prospect barely in my lifetime.
Yeah.
So if you're not going to have a farm system, don't withhold the few gems you have.
Mm.
And those are Alec Bohm and Spencer Howard right now. And aside from what they bring on the field, sometimes bringing up that the breath of fresh air, that can rejuvenate a clubhouse or a locker room.
Right.
Like, that's a sign that, oh, yeah, we want to win.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it's more than just what they bring on the field sometimes. And I think with how Bryce Harper has spoken, Spencer Howard represents that.
I couldn't agree more. And if you're looking for a little bit of an offensive jolt, the Phillies right now, we went through the numbers, and I know it's they're just starting. They played 4 games. But you look at Phil Gosselin as a leader in hits.
Yeah, it's...
Think about that. You look at Adam Haseley as a leader in hits on this team. I mean, come on. You might need a little bit of a shot in the arm offensively as well. And I'm not saying you look at Alec Bohm as a starter right now or as some kind of savior to the organization. But I think Spencer Howard or Alec Bohm are two guys that you should be seeing pretty regularly.
Especially with the DH spot.
Exactly, yeah.
Like, why would you not have Bohm up here?
I don't know. I don't get it. I think it's dumb that they're not up already. Spencer Howard is someone that I want to be starting. He better be just in a Phillies uniform by the weekend at the latest.
Sunday's the deadline.
But today, see, you can set a freak-out date of Sunday.
Yes.
I set a freak-out date of today. Like, just get him up here.
I mean, I thought August 30th, when they gained that extra year of control, would have been the date, because I still can't find a reason why you wouldn't.
Mm-hmm.
So now Sunday is my date, and Monday you could see a very irrational Jamie.
Was it July 30th or was it
July? August? I keep saying August.
You keep saying it's freaking me out.
I hate calendars.
That's like the trade deadline or something.
I thought
year.
The Flyers were today.
Jamie's takeaway of the day has been call up Spencer Howard more times than the Phillies have actually played meaningful games.
That's actually a very fair point.
That's accurate.
You are correct. By the way, so UConn, and it's being pointed out to us by Tyler, who's hitting us up on Twitter, saying UConn isn't a football conference school anymore.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's fine. It's still the first to say thanks but no thanks to playing football this year. And if you think about it, in basketball, what was the first conference to bow out of the NCAA tournament?
Ivy.
That'd be the Ivy League.
No.
Are those guys some studs right there? No. Did the rest follow? Yeah.
Yeah.
So it does start small.
They also canceled football this season.
And they also canceled football this season. So it does start small. That's right. So the Ivy League, even before you.
Way ahead of the curve.
What?
Smart. You know how about them apples?
You know what? They're smug.
Yeah,
they're
smart kids.
You guys see them plagiarize the whole thing for me? Anyway, 610-632-0975. So here you go in the Sixers, and we just got into this with Devon Givens a little bit ago. Here's the main thing I'm looking for tonight. I want to blow out, like, overall for the team. I just want a comfortable win. I want to be able to sit back on my sofa. I want to hit the recline button, and I want to watch the Sixers win handily at 4 o'clock today. On top of that, I would like, at least in the first half, maybe even for the first three quarters of this game, to get an idea, to get a sense of what Brett Brown's playoff rotation is going to be. Just get a sense. So this way, you got a couple of more games to have those guys fit into those roles nicely. Slide into those roles nicely. So that come playoff time, nobody's surprised. Oh, wait a minute. I'm the guy off the bench in this situation? Not Furkan? Okay. I'll be ready to go. Like, I don't want that to be a surprise to a lot of these players out there, basically. I want them to know the spot they're going to be in. Like we were talking about with Devon, these guys are creatures of habit. Why not use those six games to get them used to the position that they're going to be playing and the role they'll be playing for this team? I don't really have any qualms about the starting five. Like I said, I think the Shake Milton that we got on Monday is going to be a much different Shake. Well, they're going to be the Shake Milton that we're going to see for the remainder of this season, including the postseason. That's the version of Shake Milton that I expect to see because it's what we saw more of before the start. It looks like things really hit the fan in that first one. Could not have been worse on Saturday night. Looks like the guy that we got on Monday was a much better basketball player. Fit into the offense much better. And by the way, well, the game-winning shot, not too bad either. So when you look at the
starting... That was good. I encourage him to do more of that.
When you look at the starting... Hopefully they won't be in that position because we call these guys out.
But that's 10.5 point favorites tonight. You better be.
When you look at the starting five, things I think will fit in nicely from here on out. I want to see a better version of Ben Simmons, but I'm not expecting that developed game that we saw in the first game.
I want to see him better defensively.
Yeah, better defensively.
Because that we know for a fact he has in the bag.
1,000%.
The jumper, yeah.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to hang my hat on that one.
But I'm done with that. I've announced affirmatively and convincingly I'm out.
If we fast forward to December 1st of this year and the new season's about to start, will you still be in that same mindset? Like,
no.
Is it just for now?
Just for now.
So next season's a new slate.
I am sticking to the same guns that I was sticking to during shutdown. I don't believe you.
Because I don't know if we're ever going to get it. Like, that's where I'm at now.
Well, that's
like, I know we're not going to get it in the bubble. But every day I ask myself, are we ever going to get this?
Imagine.
And I don't have a strong case to say yes for.
Imagine coming into a career as one of the best. And you don't want to work to be one of the elite.
But it's not a work. I think he puts the work in.
Like, imagine being an all-star, but the work's fine. What about expanding your game? What about the decision to expand your game?
But that's why it's
such
See,
you're doing it again. You're pulling me into this.
That's why it's such a mind pretzel for me.
You're doing this to me again.
Because I know he puts in the work on it.
Well, I know that as well, but that's why
it's so dumbfounding. It's a psychological block for him.
I don't, but it's a choice. He chooses not to do it. It's not a like to me, that's someone that just like, that's a yip thing. This isn't a yip thing for him. He chooses when he does it and when he doesn't do it.
But he also knows at the same time that's what's holding him back from being a perennial MVP candidate.
Exactly. And that's my biggest thing. So I'm like, this year I'm done with it. I hope I see it next year.
Oh, I'm done with it. But I have that fear that we're never going to get it.
Until I see him play every game of his career. Like, let me put it this way. Until I see him play like 10 games straight, 20 games straight of how he played the first game of the exhibition series to start up, but ramp up before the season, then I'm not going to believe it. Until I see that over a stretch of time, I'm not going to believe it. So I'm not going to waste more time on it.
I know, I hear you. But, like, watching Devin Booker's game winner yesterday,
oh,
That is a shot he should have in his bag, because at 6'10", 6'11", there's maybe two people in the entire league that could defend that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's Kawhi Leonard with his freak hands, and maybe somebody else. Like, he needs that in his bag. He needs that turnaround, fadeaway, mid-range J that he can rely on. I don't give a damn about three-pointers. Give me some consistent shot-making ability from outside of 5 feet.
Yeah.
Anything. Sure. I don't care how it comes. If it's a hook shot, if it's right-handed, left-handed, if it's a runner, if it's a floater, if it's a finger roll from 10 feet out. I don't give a damn.
Mm-hmm.
Just come on, man. We're all dying here.
So, well, here we go. We already put out the window that Joel Embiid fella is very much in shape and ready to go.
He looks great. So that's an extreme positive from this.
So back to the overall point. I'm not even concerned about the starting five at this point. I want to know what the rotations are going to be. I want to know who's your first guy off the bench. Because to me, Matisse Thybulle has earned that. And him, if it's not him or Horford or both those guys coming off today.
Those would be my top two off the bench.
Can we just give him a shot?
Yeah.
That's all I want.
And the Alec Burks thing, I don't really understand at all. And Devon brought it up too. I think Glenn Robinson III can step into a pretty big role in this team. I hope he returns. I haven't heard anything on his hit pointer. But hopefully he gets back here, because he's got a real shot to steal a pretty big job on this team.
Mm-hmm.
But Alec Burks over Neto, if I'm Brett Brown, that's the number one thing I'm changing.
Okay. All right.
Neto, see ya.
I
wish they had a taxi squad so they could say, hey, Neto, you're on the taxi squad. We'll be in touch.
We have a tee time at 4 o'clock today. Don't we have a game? No, you're good.
Just go out there and tee it up.
So that's what I'll be looking for tonight. It is weird.
Today. Afternoon.
4 o'clock.
Basketball.
At what point do you start calling it night? What's your cutoff?
5:30.
Yeah, that's usually where I'm at.
So 4 o'clock's still a day game to me. Because tomorrow the Flyers are at 4, too. So we get back-to-back day action.
Early bedtime. The Flyers are at a household title.
That's what has got me most excited.
By the way, I didn't fill you in. I know I've been talking about it on the air. We finally got the new mattress.
Congrats on the sex.
People were shaming me for the Costco purchase. First off, Ed, thank you.
Kirkland brand. Is for good stuff. I am not shaming.
It was one of them.
LeVert with the ball. This guy.
Oh, no, you can't. Yeah,
what was that?
You don't cut it off there.
What are you doing? I'm so sorry. It was an accident. It was a total accident.
Dylan caused this, didn't he?
He did. He's all in my head. Told you guys I'd never recover from that.
You can't do that. You can't tease the audience. You got to finish that.
LeVert with the ball. This guy has got a boner. Karis LeVert.
I just saw on the thing it said boner, and you were talking about your mattress. He said sex.
Uh-huh.
I didn't realize it was a 5-second cut. I'm going
to
go home.
You have to paint the whole picture there.
Just going to go home, guys.
The behind-the-scenes tour we have given people today, this radio program. But anyway, have you got the new mattress? Let me tell you this. I felt my back aligning again. I woke up this morning, and I walked into the bathroom to get ready for the day, and I didn't limp. For the first time in like a million years.
It's amazing. Congratulations.
We got the firmest John we could get, tell you that much. Yeah, it was great.
I haven't had a new mattress in a long, long time.
Oh, man, I hated that pillow top that my wife got before we like lived together. I was like, I hope we don't live together and this is our mattress. And then, sure enough, I married her. It was my mattress for a long time.
Well, that's how much you love her. You overcame a bad mattress.
I shot my back for this woman, basically. But, yeah, so we were excited about the new mat. I actually had a good night's sleep last night. So that was...
Congrats.
I wanted to make sure I updated you.
Yeah.
So that you can congratulate me on
you
this.
You do look fresher.
Pep in the step.
Is that what I got there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. It might be because of the mattress. It might be because of something else.
You know what it is? It's probably because we're going to Magic City.
Ooh.
It's probably, now, in case you missed it earlier...
I think I have to get an order of wings.
It's been
today.
A good 24 hours for Farzetta, huh? The invite to Magic City, a Costco mattress?
There we go.
His good friend Claude.
Yeah, there we go. And that all happened. So there you go. And we're going to probably go down to Magic City, take a road trip, get some wings. I don't know what the laws are for going to Atlanta and then coming back to Pennsylvania. Do we have to quarantine for 14 days? We'll check that out. But we're going to go there. We're going to get the wings that Lou Williams got. And we're going to sample them. Magic City reached out to us via social media, and they said, look, we're trying to get all this stuff done, but in the meantime, meaning they're going to try to send all these wings to all the people that have been requesting them throughout the country, and if we can't do that, if they can't do that, they're going to invite us down for some wings.
Yeah, they said they are trying to get on Gold Belly, I think it's called.
Gold Belly.
Yeah, some of the cheesesteak spots in town do it.
Okay.
Where they'll ship their signature items all over the country. Like Chicago deep dish, you can get sent to you from, was it Molinaro? Molinaro's out there?
Oh, Lou Malnati's.
Malnati's, yeah. So you can get that sent to you by like Gold Belly, I think the cheesesteak place. So they said they are trying to get their wings on Gold Belly.
Okay.
I will place an order as soon as that happens because I've been thinking about these damn wings for 2 weeks.
And then you won't bring them in because you're not a
No, they're mine.
Guy.
They're mine.
Yeah, I would feel like you earned
I feel
them.
Like we have to do a taste test.
I feel like you earned them.
I'm getting wings for lunch today. It's already been decided.
We did not do a Twitter poll today, but if we did, it's brought to you by Window Nation. Call 1-866-90-NATION or visit windownation.com. Pat Egan, what is your takeaway of the day?
My takeaway is the Sixers better win this game tonight. And not by 2 points, not by four, but handedly. Because
I said 15. I say they the 10.5's the line.
I don't have the patience to come in and hear the Jamie spin job of the positivity of, well, they only won by four, but I took some positives out of it. And that's something that I love about Jamie.
Well,
but
there was some actual positives the other night, Pat.
I disagree. The only positive
Shane
I found...
Look good.
The only positive I found is this friendship, Jamie. Between me and you. And the fact that we got invited to Magic City together.
Yeah, it's nice. It's nice.
That's adorable, Patrick. That is adorable. Jamie Lynch!
My takeaway of the day is Claude Giroux's really nothing without Travis Konecny.
I love the pregnant pause you had there between nothing and Travis.
I was like, dude, we just had him on, man. Yeah. At least wait till tomorrow.
He owes everything to Travis Konecny. Everything he's accomplished in his great career.
He's a great teammate.
He owes to TK. He was nothing before TK, and he'll probably be nothing after.
Yeah, he'll be probably playing on my men's league team.
How about all the NHL players just sitting around playing cards, betting on golf? That's what the bubble is.
Yeah, that's great.
You got the guys down in Orlando going bass fishing.
It just hit me, because I don't... The NHL Hall of Fame, is Claude...
Yeah, he's got a really good shot.
Yeah.
I think he does at least.
Yeah.
He did talk about how awkward it was, you know, passing by guys, and there's a gif of John Tavares having to walk past the Boston Bruins as they were heading out, and he's leaving because he just had a game, and it's got to be awkward. Seeing the guys that you have to play against, it's gross.
What's it like in your men's league, Pat?
Okay, it can get testy in the parking lots.
Oh, that's right. You tried to fight a guy.
I tried.
You took off your skate and tried to stab
somebody.
He
ran away.
But he doesn't fight children.
If only the audience knew.
Yeah.
Too soon, Jamie. Too soon.
We've gone behind the scenes enough on this program. I don't think we need to go into that one. My major takeaway of the day today is the assignment we have given the Phillies and the assignment we have given the Sixers. Sixers, blow out the Bradley Beal-less Wizards today. Phillies, call up Spencer Howard.
You cowards. That was the end of the sentence.
I'm sorry. Yeah. So you cowards.
Yeah. There you go.
Can't say that and just say it. You have to yell it. Basically.
Say it with chest.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Stay tuned for the Anthony Gargano show here on 97.5 The Fanatic. And you know what? Speaking of some hoops, how about Parks Casino? Oh, you want to bet on some basketball? Then you need to bet with Parks Casino and Sportsbook. Parks Casino and Sportsbook is where it is at. Want a great casino to go in and visit and have a good time? Guess what? Treat yourself to a little trip there because they got the social distancing all set up inside Parks Casino and the Sportsbook app. If you want in on all the action that is returned with sports returning, Parks Casino Sportsbook is what you got to use. Look at baseball today. A doubleheader, as a matter of fact. Philly and New York. 405 Nola on the bump today. Wheeler as well for the Phils. It's going to be a wild one. Also, you're looking at what's going on in basketball. Something you got to look at, something you got to focus on is what's going on down there at 4 o'clock today with the tip-off with Philly taking on Washington. Parks Casino and Sportsbook is what you got to use. And why is that? It's backed by the number one casino in all of Pennsylvania. And it's right in Bucks County, so it's not some overseas account. It's right in your backyard. You're not a faceless customer to them. You are their customer that they want to treat right. And that's why you got to trust my guys with Parks Casino and Sportsbook, my team, my hometown team. Sign up now and get a risk-free bet from up to $500. Yeah, $500. Download the app or go to parkscasino.com/PA. That's parkscasino.com/PA and use my promo code FANATIC to get your first bet risk-free up to $500. Their website has all the details. Use your bet. Your risk-free bet is refunded as a free bet. So right there, it's refunded on your loss as a free bet. You must be 21 or older and in Pennsylvania. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music.
Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.